All right, let's stand together tonight. Amen. I know the Inspirations recorded that song that they just sung me years ago, but if I'm not mistaken, I believe Brother Leonard Fletcher wrote that song. It's Under the Blood, and he actually preached at our church on Friday night of our Jubilee. And he's a good songwriter, wrote several songs, and glad tonight to be in the house of the Lord. Now, I know you want to know, before I go any farther, you want to know, what did that dog do last night? If you weren't here last night, you don't have no clue what I'm talking about. But Brother Beck, I preached last night on about those battles in our life, and I preached on choose your battles wisely. And I've been talking about a dog last year when I was in this meeting, this year in this meeting, that chases my truck close to where I'm camping at every single night. Now evidently he's a night chaser, because today, during the day, he just lays there and looks at you. But when you go at night, yes, he did. He chased me again last night. And once again, it was all in vain. Amen. But anyway, I couldn't help when I went by him last night, just kind of laugh a little bit, thinking about y'all, because I know a lot of y'all wondering, I wonder if the dog's going to chase the preacher tonight. Amen. Well, hallelujah, he did. John chapter number 5 tonight. It is good to see Brother Beck in the service tonight. We love and appreciate our Macedonian family. Great to see them tonight. I'm very privileged to be on the executive board of Macedonia. I certainly enjoy being a part of that. Dr. Caldo is a dear, dear friend of mine, and I know he's been here on several occasions. And for many of you may not know, I pastor the church now that Dr. Caldo was at for 7 years, and he messed it up about as bad as you could, and it took me going on 16 years to get it back together, amen? Now, I'm just kidding. Hard to believe, though, Brother Beck, has been that long. It'll be 16 years before we know it. It's hard to believe that. And anyway, in 2019, we're going to be hosting Macedonia's National Conference again. We're excited about that. Preacher got to go last time we had that a few years ago. And boy, I tell you what, it was tremendous. So we're looking forward to that. John chapter number 5 tonight, if you would please. And there are so many things throughout this Gospel of John, and I have enjoyed. I told the pastor sitting in his office, and I know he likes to study books of the Bible as well. And God's given me so many just nuggets out of just studying different books of the Bible that just sort of leap off the page at you. And sometimes it amazes me, because you've read it several times, you've never seen it. Then all of a sudden, God and the Holy Ghost illuminate it, and you'll see it, and you'll see what God has for you. Chapter number 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, and I want to say this, the name I'm getting ready to mention, the Pool of Bethesda, the word Bethesda is where I'm going to be leaning tonight. So I want you to think about this. The Bible says in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down to a certain seat in the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now you may think, what kind of question is that? I mean, here this fellow is, you would think the Lord wouldn't even have to ask him, will thou be made whole? But you've got to understand the context of Scripture to know where this is going. Look back in the Word of God just a moment. The Bible says here, the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. The water's troubled to put me in the pool. But while I'm standing, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I want to preach for just a few moments tonight out of this passage, and I want you to stay there a few moments. But I want to preach tonight from one verse particular and yet bring in all of this particular chapter of John chapter 5. I want to preach tonight where the Bible says and gives us the name of this pool known as the Pool of Bethesda. And I want to preach a few moments tonight on the subject of a God of mercy. A God, notice I did not say a God of grace. He is a God of grace. But tonight my focus is not on grace. My focus is on mercy. Let's bow together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for the wonderful, wonderful singing that we've already enjoyed. Lord, I thank you, Father, tonight for the family sung to us. I thank you tonight for this precious lady that sung, Lord, one of my favorite songs. Love that song. Thank you for it. Then, Lord, of the trio tonight, we thank you for them. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's come up and had a part. Lord, for that young man that sung, Jesus loves me. What a great theological truth that Jesus loves sinners. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray you'll bless this time together. Bless the Crossroads Baptist Church. Thank you, God, for Pastor Dixon and his family. I pray, God, you just put the touch of God on this place. Let it be a lighthouse right here on this road that people may hear and see what God can do in their lives. Bless, we pray tonight in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. If you look back in your Bible just a moment tonight, you'll find out that this miracle is going to take place at the Feast of the Jews. You'll also notice that it was going to be at the sheep market. And really, and I understand our English words cannot grab a hold many times of the full extent of a Greek word or a Hebrew word. But literally where you find this happening at is sheep market, or we know as the sheep gate. If you'll study the book of Nehemiah, you'll find out there were many gates there coming into Jerusalem. And one has believed that this sheep gate or this sheep market area would be a place where those sheep were brought in for sacrifice. And so you find there, the Bible says, the Pool of Bethesda. And when you find that pool there, you find this place and you find many people that are lame, that are sick, that have problems physically there. And the Bible says they were there under those five porches. Now you'll find out that porch was like a shelter around that area of the pool. And those people most likely would be underneath that shelter sometimes for long periods of time. Now even though this man had this infirmity, the Bible says 38 years, it doesn't say he was laying by the pool for that long, but that he just had the infirmity that long. And you need to stay with that tonight, because that is very key to what I'm going to preach tonight. It's not the fact that there wasn't a time in his life that he wasn't there. It's not a fact that he'd been there for 38 years. But the Bible says that this man was laying there, and according to the Bible, it lets us know Jesus knew he'd been there a while. There's a lot of things here in the Word of God. You can think about five porches. You can think about the number of grace in the Bible. And no doubt, anything God does for us, and especially our salvation, is through and by the grace of God. But the name Bethesda is an interesting name. The Pool of Bethesda, you've heard of for years. It literally means house of pity or house of mercy. So the Pool of Bethesda in the Word is a house of mercy. Now understand this tonight. There is a huge, huge difference between grace and mercy. Now I'm glad as a child of God, Pastor, I'm glad if I stop too fast, I might get run over. Because the songwriter said, and the Bible said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm glad that with me tonight is surely goodness and mercy. I'm glad God's with me every day of my life. Somebody say amen to that tonight. Now notice this. Grace is unmerited favor. What does that mean? That simply means this. I get what I do not deserve. Boy, I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve the blessings of God. I didn't deserve one day for God to step in that little meal village, a little place called Altima Hall, that Baptist church, and the Holy Ghost reached down and lift me up and save me by the grace of God. I didn't deserve that, but that is the grace of God. If you're here tonight, you're not saved by church membership. You're not saved by signing a card. You're not saved tonight by water baptism. But you're saved tonight by the grace of God. But tonight we're not discussing grace. Tonight we're talking about the other word, and that's mercy. What is mercy? Well, if grace is unmerited favor, and grace is something that we get, that God gives us freely, mercy is simply this: not getting what we deserve. Now, would you listen to me tonight? It is very important to understand that in this passage of the Word of God. You need to understand that this pool being called the Pool of Bethesda, or the House of Pity, or the House of Mercy, it's very important to understand that. Now, listen. I understand I can draw out of this scripture and I can preach. A man was lame and God raised him, and I can preach that, and we have pictures there. I could even share a picture of salvation through that. I like many times. But I literally, let me just say this, I literally believe this passage goes way beyond salvation. I want to show you that tonight, and I believe it to be very key to what I'm preaching tonight. Now, I want you, if you would, for just a moment, I want you to look just at a couple things here. First of all, I want you to see that this man had a lame problem. A lame problem. The Bible says here in the Word of God that this man was, and no doubt was, lame. And the Bible tells us they're just waiting on the troubling of that water, the troubling of that pool, and then they're waiting on someone to help them get in it. They're not able to get in it themselves. And so this man is a lame man. Now I want you to notice, the Bible says in verse 5 he has an infirmity. That infirmity simply means he is without strength to help himself. The word infirmity just means he is without strength. So here you have a man in the Word of God that is laying at the Pool Bethesda, the place of mercy, and he's laying there and he is unable to help himself. He's unable to do anything. And so the water's troubled and the lame man lays there. Jesus comes by where the lame man was. How many of you believe that Jesus never goes anywhere by accident? Say amen. Jesus comes by where this man was. And so certainly you could see somewhat a picture of salvation. You could see a man that could not walk. And just like you and I were lame and we could not walk spiritually until God raised us up. But again, this passage goes so much farther than that. He had a lame problem. Second of all, he had a long problem. The Bible says in the Word of God that Jesus, when he saw this man, Jesus knew, according to what he knows, that it had been a long period of time that this man had been there by that pool. You got to understand, Jesus knew. Verse 6, he said, "Now it's been a long time in that case." He knew that. Listen, I again realize we could look tonight, and stay with me because I'm going somewhere, but we could look tonight once again at a man here in the Word of God, a man here that a long time has been in this situation. But I don't believe from birth. Matter of fact, it doesn't say that in the Bible. And I want you to see, there were some folk lame in the Bible that never walked. There were folk lame in the Bible, but I just got an idea, and I want you to see this and look just a moment. The Bible says, and I believe this, when Jesus said it's been a long time, he reminds us of literally how long people can be in sin. And by the way, sin will always take you farther than you want to go. I believe that. Then I want to say real quickly, this man had a lingering problem. Listen, if you look in your Bible, you'll find out that this man's problem is linked to something else. And I want you to see that tonight. Remember, we're at the pool of Bethesda. We're at the house of mercy. Mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is simply not getting what you deserve. Now, won't you listen to me tonight? I believe tonight 100% that God is a God of love. I believe that. I believe that I do not have to serve God out of fear. I believe that I do not have to live my life like God's going to beat me up all the time. But I do believe this. I do believe He loveth us. He's going to chasten us. And I do believe that He's not going to let us go but so far. And I do believe that if we get cold and we get indifferent and we get away from Him, I believe He's going to do what He can to bring us back to Him. Now understand tonight, a lot of people have the idea. Now, I will say this tonight. Look at me a moment. It's not the same Holy Ghost living in me that's living in these people that say this. Something's wrong. Because I know people just live any way they want to live, do anything they want to do, name the name of Christ, say they're a Christian. Friend, I'd get the flu and miss church and feel convicted. Amen. Not that I should go. Not that anybody would want me to go. But I'm saying that many times in people's lives, we can have all kind of stuff. My wife received a call from a young lady in our church, very young lady in our church, who is greatly talented. And God uses her a lot at Calvary. And she called my wife the other day. And for the first time in all the years she's been saved a young girl, raised in a Christian home, got a Christian family. She called my wife and said to my wife, I don't know why in the world I'm just doubting so many things. And by the way, don't you understand this? God is not the author of confusion. God will convict you, but God will not confuse you. Confusion's of the devil. Amen. Anyway, my wife told her, well, tell me when, and she went through when she got saved. I believe 100% she's saved. But my wife began to talk to her, and my wife said to her, I want to say some things in your life God's not happy with. Now, I'm going to say this right tonight so nobody will leave out of the building thinking that I believe you can lose your salvation. Let me just go ahead and say this. I do not believe you can lose. I believe, thank God, when God saves us, we are sealed to the day of redemption. I don't save myself. God does the saving. But I'm going to tell you something. As a Christian, you can do things in your life make you feel unsaved. I didn't say you were, but you can. You can. You can get to the place in your life when you say, boy, I wonder if I'm even saved. Well, the problem is that maybe you're not reading your Bible enough. You're not praying enough. You got things in your life that you're dealing with. You got some things you need to do better. See, we're trying to have revival. We got to understand something. We got to understand if the church is to be revived, we have to look at our own self. We have to say, Lord, where am I at? And we can't walk in here like we don't need any help. We have to come in and say, Lord, I'm here tonight because I want you to help me. I need some help. Do something in my life. And so he had a lingering problem. Now watch this. I'm convinced in the Word of God that this man's problem he has that Jesus is getting ready to heal is mercy and not grace. I'm going to show you why. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Can I tell you this? I realize the passage has to do with the Lord's Supper. But at the same time, certainly does it not have to do with our purity and with us living the way we ought to live and doing the way we ought to do? Hey, can I tell you this? I do believe without a shadow of a doubt, when we're no earthly good to God, He doesn't need to leave us here. What other reason would God need us here? So, well, God wants me here to worship Him. You can do that in heaven. Matter of fact, we're going to do that in heaven for all eternity. You say, preacher, what would God leave me here for? He'd leave you here to be one word, an ambassador for Christ. Someone that is a witness and a testimony. Someone that speaks the language of another country. Someone that does the dress of another country. Someone that lives the life of another country. An ambassador for Christ. But if we're not a good ambassador for Christ, why would the Lord need to leave us here? Now, I want you to look back in your Bible just a moment after we think about this lingering problem. I want you to notice in the Word of God, the Bible says Here in the same word of God that we just read, verse number 8, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. Now, don't get the idea when it says he took up his bed. That means he went and grabbed four poles and got all the wood and everything. You know, he's on a mat. You know, it's considered a bed, something laid there. He could roll up. He laid there underneath those porches on that very rough environment. But Jesus told him, take up that bed. I'll say more about that in just a second. But I want you to notice this. I want you to notice that now this man comes under question. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed and walk." Then asked they him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Now watch, verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. Now that's a good place for God to find you after he's touched you. And he said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole." And then I want you to watch the next phrase. "Sin no more." Are you listening? "Lest a worse thing come upon thee." When you read that in the context of Scripture, you are convinced that this man was most likely in the situation he was in because of some sin or something in his life that had got him that way. You understand that tonight? Now I want to say this tonight. Not all sickness is because of sin. Not all trial is because of sin. Not all hardship is because of sin. But I want you to understand tonight that if we do not do what we should do for God, we can find ourselves needing mercy. This man laying here by the pool, I don't know what he'd done before, but I know Jesus made this comment, "Sin no more." This man just got up. Think about it. He hadn't went out and done anything. He went to the temple. What do you mean, sin no more? Evidently, something in his past had caused him to be where he was. I'll say something to you tonight, Crossroads Baptist Church. Listen to me. I have never seen anybody more miserable than a person who has been around God, been around church, been in the glory, if I can say it that way, and now has gotten away from the Lord. They're more miserable, preacher, than the sinner. They're more, listen, if you've ever been in the fire, you'll choke to death in the smoke. You can't handle it. Preacher and I were talking about that the other day. I'm not talking about wildfire, though a little fire sometimes is good. Hallelujah, even if it is wild. But I will tell you this, friend, if you've ever been around God in the glory and the fire, you'll never be satisfied being choked to death by smoke. You want to be around where God's at. Amen. Now I want you to notice three things here, these quickly, three things that Jesus told this man. First of all, he told him to rise. Now that's wonderful. Get up from where you are. That's mercy, friend. Jesus said, rise. Jesus said, you don't have to stay this way no longer. Jesus said, get up. You don't have to be this way no more. You know what I'm glad of tonight? Everybody look up here. I mean, hallelujah, this. I'm glad God's a God of a second and a third and a fourth chance. I'm glad God doesn't throw the clay away. I'm glad God may put the clay back in the fire and the potter may look through the window and watch it. But I'm so glad that God doesn't throw that clay away. I'm glad He forms it and molds it into what He wants it to be. And if you're here tonight and you feel like you failed the Lord somewhere, you don't have to throw in the towel. You don't have to give up because He is God of a second chance. Absolutely. And I'm saying this tonight, I'm glad he's like that because there have been many a time that I failed him. Anybody with me tonight? Been many a time that I've come short of his glory. I haven't done everything I should. There have been times I wanted to pour the cover up over my head and say, God, you can find somebody a whole lot better to do this than me. In times I failed the Lord. The Bible said not only did he tell him to rise, but he told him to take up his bed. What is it about the word take? Listen, he said, don't leave your bed there. Take it up. Yes, sir. Amen. You know what Jesus said when he told him to take his bed up? You're not coming back here.
You're not coming back to this place. You're not coming back. You're not coming back and have to lay here again because of sin. You're not coming back have to lay here again because you can't walk. Jesus said, take up that bed. This part of your life is over. Hallelujah.
Boy, I've seen people come to Christ, get saved, and God changed their life. Then I've seen them later on get cold or get away from the Lord. Then one day, broken, may I say lame, they come back. Let me just say this tonight. You never come back with what you left with. The prodigal son came home. The father was glad to see him. But he didn't come back with what he left with. You understand that? Ruth, when she came back with Naomi, Naomi said when she got back, call me not Naomi for I am bitter. Naomi left with her husband, following her husband. But when she came back to the house of bread, Naomi wasn't the same as when she left. I will say this tonight, you're better off to never leave. I tell people all the time, if you're on the porch, get back in the house. Don't get out there and watch what the devil's got. Then he told him to walk. The Bible says, when Jesus finds him in the temple, he says, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. Under thee. You know what I think is happening in this passage of the Word of God tonight? Here's what I think is happening. I think tonight is a man, I don't know how he got in the situation. If the Bible would have said he'd been lame since his birth, then I understand that. But that's not what it says. It says he had infirmity 38 years. It does not say that he was at that pool 38 years. It says he had that infirmity. And he was there. Don't you understand something tonight? Jesus didn't just say to him, take up your bed, rise and walk and enjoy this new life. And what he said? He did say, go and sin no more. But then he said, lest a worse thing come upon thee. You know what he's meaning? This is bad enough you brought on yourself. But it can be worse. Can I say this to you tonight? I don't know many of your names. One time a year that I see you, I see many of you that I saw last year. I see others throughout the week. That's a good sign. It's good to be in God's house. It's good to be faithful. But I want to say something to you tonight as a pastor. You can still be in the same seat, but not be in the same place. And I want you to understand, that's what revival's for. Your pastor does not get Brother Waters tomorrow night or Brother Samuel Monday night or myself. He does not get us here just to fill up a week of your life. He loves you too much for that. You know, you've got other things you could do, right? You do. You worked hard. You've been a job. You put in your time for the Lord, for your job, and then you're here. I doubt anybody made you with a whip come tonight. Maybe some of them youngins, but that's all right. It's all right with that. Raised on drugs, you just drag them to church every chance you get. Say amen right there. But I want you to understand this. You're here tonight because in your heart, there is a desire to be closer to God. That's right here. So, oh no, I'm here tonight preaching because it's my church and I need to go. It's never wrong to do right. But I'll tell you this tonight. If you look at your own life tonight, ask yourself a question. Where are you in your relationship to Christ? Are you as excited about the Lord now as you was 6 months ago, a year ago? If you answer yes to that, then hallelujah. But if you answer no to that, join the majority. Because I got news for you. This world will try to suck the life out of you. This world, and I'm not talking about you out living in sin. I'm talking about just having to live and work your jobs and go through life and deal with all the things you deal with. It will sometime just draw the life out of you if you're not careful. So we need revival. And that's why we're here. But here's the other thing tonight. If God's had mercy on you tonight and grace and saved you, and maybe nobody knows tonight, but there's an area of your life you're going the wrong direction. You need to make sure you turn that around. Let the Lord help you. Because I'm going to tell you, He will bring you back to Himself because you're His child and He loves you. Can't let you go but so far. Let's stand our feet tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. Every head bowed tonight and every eye closed this evening. Just for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed this evening, just for a moment. I wonder tonight, my sister just played softly on the piano for just a moment. I wonder tonight how many of you is a testimony to God's grace tonight. Without any reservation, a testimony to God's grace could say, Pastor Hazlett, Pastor Dixon, I know tonight that I have been born again. I know I'm saved. Matter of fact, Pastor, I know that so well that I know if that my heart were to stop this evening, I know that I'd go to heaven. I know I'm saved. How many of you tonight is a testimony could slip your hand up high and say, Preacher, I know that without reservation. Praise the Lord. You can put it down tonight. If you're here this evening and you could not raise your hand, but you would allow me to pray for you, not come to you, not pull you from your seat, you just allow me to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up right now? You can put it right back down. Preacher, I could not raise my hand. I'm unsure of that. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? I may not know your name, but I certainly will remember your face. Could I pray for you tonight? Right now, would you slip it up? If no one does, that means all of you is your testimony said that you're saved tonight. If you are, praise God. I am so glad you are. Don't ever feel bad in a church. So everybody raise your hand that you saved. You know what? That's a wonderful thing. Don't ask you this tonight. I wonder if you're here tonight and you say, Preacher, I know I'm saved, but there are some things in my life that I know the Lord's dealing with me about. Some things that I need to get right with Him. Some things that would hinder me from revival in my life. Some things that would hinder me or hold me back from being all I need to be for God. And I know there's some things like that tonight, Pastor. And I wonder tonight, would you pray for me? Would anybody be honest tonight? Nobody looking, just slip your hand up tonight and say, Preacher, thank you so much. And that's a lot of hands tonight. And I will say you can put them down. And I want to thank you for your honesty. Because you realize the first way to get help from God is just be honest. Just be honest. He already knows anyway. He just wants you to know. Right? When He said, where art thou, Adam? Or when He comes looking for something, He already knows. He just wants us to know where we are. I wonder tonight why our brother's leading us. You can look this way. What number? 309 in your hymn book tonight. I wonder if there's a need tonight in your life for revival. I wonder if there's a need tonight to say, Lord, I want to take up the bed. I don't want to ever be in a place where I feel lame in my Christian life. I want to be able to go for you. I wonder why we're singing tonight. If you slip that hand up, you're desiring revival in your own heart, in your own life. I want you to come tonight while He's singing. Would you do that with Him tonight? Sing for us if you would tonight, brother.
Have my affections been held to the cross?
That's a perfect song, my dear brother. Amen, buddy. Amen. Amen. What about it tonight, friend? Thank God for a God of mercy. Revive us again, thy people may rejoice in thee. Oh, yes. Amen. Dear brother.
Is there no condemnation? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God?
Sing that chorus now. Wouldn't it be great, God, do something in your life this week? You can shout out, yes it is. Yes it is. While she just plays softly there a moment, sister, I want you to listen to something tonight. You know, the Bible says that man went into the temple. I wonder, preacher, maybe he'd been to the temple before. I don't know what he was lame. I don't know why. But I'll say something to you tonight. And I mean this tonight. There are no throwaways with God. Because let's be honest, if there were, none of us would be here tonight. Our heart's desire are to please Him, to be to please Him. But there'll be times we fail Him. When we do, we need to come to Him and say, Lord, I want my heart right with You. Amen. Somebody might have saw him say, look who's back in the temple again. I love seeing people get saved. It's the highlight of my life. Preacher was telling me about all those that got saved in the hunt recently and the things y'all did. Boy, I told them, I said, hallelujah. I love when people get saved. But I'm going to tell you something else as a pastor I love. Because see, we love our people. Your preacher loves you. You don't understand it unless God's called you and put you doing it. But when I see somebody I love get away from the Lord, start getting cold, and I know I'm about to lose them. I know they're kind of moving away. And then one Sunday, God loves on them. And I watch them walk down an aisle and come down into an altar. I'm going to tell you something. That does something for me. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not what it could be by mercy. Amen. Thank God for mercy, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, Paul talked about all the things he did. He was injurious. He persecuted the church. He did all these things as Saul of Tarsus. And then he said this, but I obtained mercy. But I obtained mercy. Jeremiah said, and so the Lord's mercies were not consumed. His compassions fill not their new every morning. Thank God for His mercy. Amen. It's been good tonight. Amen. All right, we'll be dismissed in word of prayer. Hey, be right back tomorrow night. You've been good. You've done a great job. Don't miss tomorrow night. We're going to, like I said, we're going to send it out with a bang. We got Brother Waters coming in. I believe God's really going to touch down tomorrow night. You pray. You pray tonight. Pray in the morning. And then you be here tomorrow night. Invite somebody. Let's fill this place up. And let's end it on a good note, okay? We're going to be dismissed now in a word of prayer. Brother Steele, will you dismiss us, please, sir?